Okay, we have been learning about King Chizkiyahu. Last time, we very quickly went through chapters 18 and 19, where we were introduced to Chizkiyahu, the fact that Chizkiyahu was a tremendous tzaddik. Chizkiyahu not only got rid of the Avodah Zarah, he also got rid of the Bamos. Chizkiyahu also ground up this copper snake that remained from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Chizkiyahu is pretty awesome and amazing. And then what happened was that eventually Ashur decides to attack. At first Chizkiyahu had paid a tribute to Ashur, and then at some point he stopped paying the tribute. So Ashur attacks Yehuda. This is after Ashur had, conquered the kingdom of Yisrael. So Ashur attacks Yehuda, and it's a very dangerous time, and the attack of Ashur is giving tremendous theological significance, because we have this fellow, Rav Shakeh, who according to Chazal is a Yisrael Mummer, he is an apostate Jew, and Rav Shakeh is saying all these blasphemous things, saying, oh, you're God, right, he can't protect you, none of the other gods protect you, everything, blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly, amazingly, miraculously, the entire army of Sanherib, 185,000 people, is destroyed in the middle of the night. That's the end of chapter 19. Chapter 20 tells us of two episodes in the days of Chizkiyahu. The timing of chapter 20 as compared to chapter 18 and 19 is not completely clear. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But chapter 20 has episode number 1, that Chizkiyahu gets very sick. Yeshayahu HaNavi comes to him and tells him, you're gonna die! Right? Probably wasn't that happy with like the nice tune, but Yeshayahu HaNavi tells him, you're going to die.
What? He got a shiur after all.
He says, you're going to die. And Chizkiyahu takes this to heart. He turns to the wall. He davens with tremendous kavana. Before Yeshayahu is able to leave, suddenly he gets another nevuah. Hold it! You know what? You prayed nicely. You cried. You're a good Jew. We'll give you 15 more years. 15 more years. And that's the story 1 of chapter 20. Story 2 of chapter 20, or the story, actually story 1 continues, that then Chizkiyahu asks for a sign, and somehow the sun moves back 10 degrees, whatever that's supposed to mean. That's the sign that Chizkiyahu will actually be healed, and end of story 1. Story 2 is that there is a king, Berodach Baladan of Bavel, who basically hears that Chizkiyahu is sick, and he sends tribute to Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu shows him all of his treasures. He shows him everything he has in the storage houses, and what happens as a result of this is that Yeshayahu HaNavi comes to Chizkiyahu, and Yeshayahu says, sorry dude, you know, this is really a mistake, and because you showed all of your treasures to Berodach Baladan, because you showed all of your treasures to him, therefore your people are going to be carted away to Bavel, and this is the beginning of the end. So we have two stories. In one story, Chizkiyahu turns out pretty good. In the other story, he turns out pretty bad. When we conclude, we'll have to focus on what's the difference between these two stories. But first, let's go into detail about story one, which is the illness of Chizkiyahu. Ready? Verse 1. Bayamim Hahem. Bayamim Hahem means in those days. Presumably referring to during these days when there is a siege that Sanherib is putting on Yerushalayim. This is the way Rashi and the Radak take it. Rashi and the Radak say that this episode of the illness of Chizkiyahu is before the miracle of the defeat of the 185,000 of Sanherib's troops. The proof that they have for this is that in verse 6, Pasuk Vav, the Navi, after Chizkiyahu does his tshuva, after he davens, so the Navi tells him, V'ganoti al ha'ir hazot l'ma'ani or l'ma'an David avdi. I will protect the city. Now, if the city already was saved, why do you have to say, I will protect the city? Presumably, right, we're saying that, you know what, the city has not yet been saved. The city is still under siege. And this episode of the illness of Chizkiyahu is therefore happening at the same time that there is a siege of Yerushalayim. Now, if we would be rationalists, which I'm not committed that we are, but we're probably closer than most, if we'd be real rationalists, we would say that these things might be linked. In the way that very often the leader of a nation, when the nation is under severe distress, is under attack, the leader becomes physically ill out of fear for what could happen. It happened in the Six-Day War. Yitzhak Rabin was basically, again, he had a mental breakdown. Right? It's well known that Rabin had a mental breakdown during the Six-Day War. The stress of your nation nearing annihilation can really weigh heavily on a leader.
But couldn't you say with deprivation or the siege is that it'll eat your dung and drink your urine?
So
that could be too good for the health.
It can't be too good for the health either. But remember, if you're the king, presumably you have access to better food than dung and urine. Just guessing. I'm not assuming that there was a physical deprivation that Chizkiyahu went through. I would say perhaps, again, that the illness is because Chizkiyahu took to heart, again, if Rashi and Radak are correct, that this is before the miracle of Sancheirib, so he took it all to heart. And Yeshayahu Hanavi is coming, and Yeshayahu is saying, listen, you know what, you're going to die. It's really bad. It's really bad. Now, the amazing thing is that Chizkiyahu pulls through, he prays to Hashem, and that leads to him getting a number of extra years. This is the way Rashi and the Radak learn. The Ralbag always has different approaches to Judaism. The Ralbag over here has an approach. Not that Ralbag. The Ralbag has an approach here that this episode was after the troops of Sancheirib had all been killed. After that happened, so what emerged was that Chizkiyahu then got sick, and then this entire episode happened. Now, for the Ralbag, there's a little bit of textual proof, which is that the expression in Pasuk Vav is V'ganoti al ha'ir hazot lema'ani ulema'an David avdi. I will protect the city. Protecting a city is different than the pasuk in earlier in Perek Yudches Yudtes. That pasuk says V'ganosi al ha'ir hazos v'hoshi'ah. Over there, the pasuk says I will protect the city to save it. No, over here it does not say l'hoshi'ah, to save the city. It sounds like I will protect the city. Protection might mean, and the Ralbag, what?
The Rashi's have mikaf melech ashur atzilcha. Isn't that the same thing? The Rashi pasuk rock.
I will save you from Ashur. So the Ralbag says that what happened was, even after the defeat of Sancheirib, the next leader of Ashur says, I'm going to try again. And he's beginning to threaten another attack on Yerushalayim. And that, right, ain't so good either. So God says, you know what, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you from that. So for the Ralbag, this episode is afterwards. Again, perhaps the same psychological insight that that we said before, we can say again, but I don't know. Now, let's go on. So Chizkiyahu is sick. Yishayahu comes to him, and Yishayahu says, "Sav leveitecha ki meita tavlo tefia." Sav leveitecha means, "Can put your affairs in order." Like reide tzava'a. By the way, from here Chazal learn that there's a principle. Ordinarily, I require a kinyan. No, if I want to give you my possessions, so I have to sell it to you in a halachically viable method of sale. We have a principle that divrei shchiv merah k'ktuvim k'mesirim dami. There's a tzava'a of a shchiv merah that if you're about to die, so even if you don't make a kinyan, I just command, I say, Reuven, my son, gets this, Shimon gets that, this tzaka gets this. The words themselves have halachic effect when the person's on the deathbed.
How many witnesses do there have to be? Or do there have to be witnesses?
Well, you have to know that it happened. But if there's no disputing that it happened, even though no kinyan took place, it works.
Accommodorus.
Again, when the person's on his deathbed or her deathbed, the person can give away their stuff.
Because I knew a friend of mine was a descendant of the Chassam Sofer, and he said he could never go to the field because Chassam Sofer left in Sefer that none of his descendants.
So that's already. So those types of tzavos is not what we're talking about. But those types of tzavos are not what we're talking about. Those are like ethical wills.
Not, talking
we're talking about monetary wills, mummonis. Usually in mummonis, I need a kinyan. But divrei shchiv merah k'ktuvim k'mesirim dami, we learn from this pasuk of Chizkiyahu, tzav leveitecha, just command your helm, and that's enough. Now, why is it that Chizkiyahu is about to die? Why is he going to die? Chizkiyahu, by the way, at this point is how old? 39 years old. That's younger than I am. 39, right? I know, I'm an old man, I'm gray already, I understand. But Chizkiyahu is 39. Now, Chizkiyahu is 39, and he's given, by the way, another 15 years. If we just do a little bit of math, just to be a tiny bit cute, a person is supposed to live 70 years in the biblical period, no? Yimei shnoteyam shel adam shivim shana. Okay? So 39 is around 40. Everyone agree with that? 39 is around 40. That means you have 30 years left. There's a tradition in Chazal that prayer is halfway effective. Meaning, he has 30 years left to his normal lifespan. He prayed, and it was successful that he got another 15 years, because 15 is half of 30. But there is a tradition in Chazal that prayer is halfway effective, and for the other half, you have to actually go to doctors and do stuff, etc. Prayer will work halfway. Okay. Yeah, you need it. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. So why is it that Chizkiyahu is about to die? So let's just look at a Gemara here in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yod. Okay, I give it to you on page 3 of this source sheet. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Mai Dechsid, Mi Kehechacham, Mi Yodea Pesher Davar. Right, the Pasuk in Kohelet says, who is wise and who knows Pesher Davar sounds like to make a pshara, to make a compromise. Mi Kakadosh Baruch Hu, Shiyodei Lasos Pshara Bein Shnei Tzadikim, Bein Chizkiyahu L'Yishayahu. God knows how to make a compromise between two Tzadikim, Chizkiyahu and Yishayahu. Chizkiyahu says, let Yishayahu come to me. Because we see by Eliyahu that Eliyahu went to Achav, right? That the Navi goes to the king. So Chizkiyahu is saying, let the Navi come to me. Right? And Yishayahu says, let Chizkiyahu come to me. Because by Yehoram ben Achav, right, he went to Elisha. He went to the prophet. Who goes to who? Does the prophet go to the Navi? Or does the prophet go to the king? Or does the king go to the prophet? Which one? There are two other episodes in Malachim where you have a king going, where you have a king and a prophet meeting. Achav and Eliyahu, and Elisha and Yehoram, the son of Achav. So who goes to who? So,
what about
That's again, these are we're looking for in the verses itself, in the psukim itself. So we have this. Who's going to make the first move? So Masa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hevi Yisur Malchizki Yahu, Va'amra Li Shayahu Leichu Vakeres Acholah. Shenemar Vayamim Mehem Chala Chizki Yahu Lamos Vayavo Elav Yishayah Ben Amos Hanavi Vayom Elav Kar Mashem Tzvakos Tzal Veisecha Kimos Ata Velo Tichya. Boom. Right? Zuf the Gemara. We can't have. We don't know who should go to who. Should Yeshayahu go to Chizkiyahu? Should Chizkiyahu go to Yeshayahu? So Hashem makes a miracle, then Chizkiyahu gets sick, and then Yeshayahu has to go be Mevakar Chola. Now, we have a rule in Bikur Cholim, Afilu Gadol Eitzel Katan. Even a great person should be Mevakar Chola to someone who's not as great, no? I read at night to my 5-year-old son a little storybook about Rabbi Aryeh Levin. And one of the stories about Rabbi Aryeh Levin is that a woman came to him and she asks for a bracha that her husband is sick and dying and she doesn't know what to do. So Rabbi Aryeh says, write down the name, I'll daven for him. Okay, and the woman leaves very happy that Rabbi Aryeh is going to daven for her husband. The next day the woman is in the hospital with her husband. Rabbi Aryeh Levin walks in. He never met the woman before. He never met this man before. He went to Mevakar Chola. There's a mitzvah, Bikur Cholim, Afilu Gadol Eitzel Katan. Even the greater person is Mevakar, the lower person. So this is Hashem's trick. Hashem says, oh, Chizkiyahu, you're sick. Now Yeshayahu will go to you. It doesn't prove that Chizkiyahu is greater than Yeshayahu, because the rule of Bikur Cholim is that even the greater person should be Mevakar, the lower person. We learned that rule, by the way, because God, the Almighty Himself, paid a social visit. When our forefather Abraham was ill 3 days after his circumcision. So the Holy Scripture tells us, Vayira Elav Hashem Beloni Mamrei, that God goes to be Mevakar Chola. Now, as great as Abraham was, God is greater. No? So we see that Bikur Cholim, Afilu Gadol Eitzel Katan, that's Hashem's idea over here. Okay, let's go on to this Gemara. Beautiful.
But this doesn't make sense, because the whole purpose of Yeshayahu's visit was to pronounce that he's going to die.
So this is interesting. Now, so you're asking, what do you mean, Bikur Cholim is pronouncing you should die? So apparently, the story is that even though Yeshayahu is coming and is pronouncing that Chizkiyahu should die, but really what he's trying to do is to scare the living daylight out of Chizkiyahu so that he should do tshuva. Right? His intention is really Bikur Cholim, as like Dr. Laura would say, in the tough love sort of way. Pardon me. Right? It's a tough love type of Bikur Cholim. It's a Bikur Cholim that comes, yeah, I'm saying that you're going to die because, right, reverse psychology. Okay, fine. Now, the Gemara continues, my ki meis ata v'lo tichya. What does it mean that you're going to die, you won't live? Zok the Gemara, meis ata v'olam hazeh v'lo tichya l'olam haba. You're going to die in this world and you're not going to have eternal life after. Why not? Right? Remember, Chizkiyahu is trying to tzaddik. Why is he going to lose his olam haba? Amalei, my kulahai, what's, why so much? Amalei, mishum delo asak, da beperia verivya. Chizkiyahu did not have children. Now, some people are not blessed with children. But Chizkiyahu was trying not to have children. Chizkiyahu was avoiding having progeny. And therefore, Zuck the Gemara, that's why he dies. Amalei, he said, this is why. Mishum dechazoi li beruach hakodesh. Dinav giminoi bonin delomali. Yeshayahu asked him, how come we're not having children? So Chizkiyahu responds, because I see in Ruach HaKodesh that my descendants are going to be wicked. Chizkiyahu's son is Menashe. Chizkiyahu says, I don't want to have children because the nafkiminoi bunny dilomali. I'm going to have bad children. So he doesn't want to have children. Oh, Amalei. So Yeshayahu turns to Chizkiyahu and says, Bahadikavshi dirachmana lamalach. Why are you getting involved in God's hidden matters? Ma'adim ifkadet, ibayilach lemerad. Ma'adinicha kameh kunshabirichu lavid. Your job is to do that which you're commanded. God will take care of what God has to do. You don't make a calculation, oh, the children will be good, won't be good, etc. That's not your business. Your business is do the mitzvah. By the way, this sounds like a statement that they say in yeshivos from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Now, unzer tafkid is tzutun nitzu upton. Our, right, I have to translate, everyone understands. That unzer tafkid, our responsibility is tzutin, tzutun, to do it. Nitzu upton, not to accomplish. The uftui, right, we don't know what the accomplishment will be. It doesn't matter. Unser tafkid et zutun. We have to do it.
Interesting.
Bahadik, what?
Interesting, almost.
Yeah. That Yishayahu's statement. Bahadik hafshid rachmana lamalach. Don't get involved in God's hidden matters.
Initially not doing
right, but so Yonah in some ways is trying to outsmart God, right? He's saying, you know, I'm worried that they will do tshuva, that will reflect poorly on the Jewish people, etc. And like, listen, you have a job. You got to do your job. You have to do your job. End of conversation. Now, the Gemara continues that Chizkiyahu says, okay, Yeshayah, maybe let me marry your daughter, and maybe your tremendous zuchus will help. That we'll have good kids, right? So Yeshayahu doesn't go for that trick, right? Yeshayahu says, "Listen, there's already a gezerah, etc." Okay, now this Gemara is really interesting on a few levels. Let's just talk about the very beginning of the Gemara. There's a tension. Who should go to who? Does Yeshayahu go to Chizkiyahu? Does Chizkiyahu go to Yeshayahu? We have the same tension, by the way, in the Midrashim about tshuva. The Jewish people say, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'inoshuvam. God, you bring us back. But God says, Shuva Eli, V'ashuva Aleichem. God says, you'd make the first step. And there's like a tug of war. Who's going to go first? And when you think about it, by the way, it's the same tug of war between the Navi and the king. The king represents the Jewish people. The Navi represents God. The Navi is always God's representative. The king is the representative of the Jewish people. The same tug of war that Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu have is the tug of war that... Now, I thought if we extend this idea, this can lead to the statements in the Medrash that maybe Mashiach is going to come. Right? Remember, there's this tug of war. Shuvah alai v'shuvah aleichem, hashivein Hashem alachem nashuvah. So when Mashiach is going to come? When the Jewish people are really sick. When we're really, really diseased, when we don't get anything right. Mashiach is going to come, according to one opinion in the Gemara, when you have a dar shekulo chayiv, when we are awful, terrible. So then God's going to have to come and visit us.
The chief rabbi is sitting in jail. The chief rabbi,
we're getting pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so painful.
The thing is, if you really... think that, then you'll just let it all go to hell and you won't try to do anything.
Now, so that's one point I wanted to make on this Gemara. Now, let's continue this Gemara. So, Chizkiyahu didn't try to have children. So, if you don't try to have children, that means that you don't do a mitzvah. If you're not doing a mitzvah, why do you suffer so much? Why is it that he's going to lose his portion in Olam Haba? But generally speaking,
line.
What?
The Davidic line.
So that's what that Barbanel says. Mm-hmm. That Barbanel says that from the perspective of the king, it's not just like, if an individual would not do a mitzvah, okay. But the king represents much more, it's an entire Davidic line, which is an amazing thing, by the way, that you realize that the mitzvah that he did is that he had a child, Menashe, and although no matter how low and despicable Menashe was, but he carried on that Davidic line. the line continued through Menashe. Right, that's the story as understood by the Abarbanel. There's another few approaches that we could take. One approach is that the Gemara in Menachos tells us that usually we don't get punished for not doing mitzvahs asei, but be'idon rischa and shito mitzvahs asei. At the time when God is angry, so God's anger can be so intense that He'll even punish us for not doing positive commands. Right? There is a concept like that in Judaism. So this is Idon Rischa, at least according to Rashi and the Radak. Because this is a time that Sancheirv and his forces are surrounding Yerushalayim. Right? It's a time that God is angry at the Jewish people. So now you're not doing a mitzvah. Right? So then you get punished. That's already another approach. The last approach that I want to take is as follows. I saw this approach in the book Musar HaNeviim. If a person doesn't do a mitzvah, big whoop. But if I make an ideology out of not doing a mitzvah, if I say, I'm not doing a mitzvah because I know that God spoke to me and God said it's going to be, that's already opening a Pandora's box that can undermine all of Judaism. If we allow that type of thing to go on, we allow somebody not to do a mitzvah because the person says, you know what, the mitzvah may end up hurting in the long run, etc., that's a very, very dangerous proposition. Right? So maybe that's why there is so much suffering. Maybe that's why Chizkiyahu is about to die. Okay, let's just continue on this in the chapter. So Chizkiyahu is about to die. Yeshayahu comes to him and says, God said, Savla v'itecha ki meit ata v'lo tefyeh. Right? Savla v'itecha again means put your affairs in order. Right? So what happens is, v'chizkiyahu v'yaseh v'panav al hakir v'yisbalo Hashem leimar. He turns his face to the wall and he davens to God. The Gemara in Brachos learns from this that when a person davens, the person should have nothing distracting himself or herself. You should be up against the wall. Like, don't have, right, we don't have any ornate things in davening, technically. Now, I know that historically, and in our show also, we have stained glass windows, which are meant to inspire us in tefillah. But that's hard to understand how we got there from the Gemara. The Gemara says that prayer should be completely undistracted, just up against the wall.
But you can't have a whole shul up against the wall.
So you can't have a whole shul up against the wall. So the Mishonim, there in that Gemara, Brachos and Daf Hei, they explain that that's why, for example, the rabbi sits up in front, and there was like a progression of the seats. Mizrachvant was a traditional place of honor because you're facing the wall. The word vant means wall in Yiddish. Davin, davant, means against the wall. You never imagined where the word davin comes from? It ain't English.
Nobody knows.
No, I'm telling you. It means davant, the wall. Davant, the wall.
Where is da? Like these and those?
Like da, you know, the. Again, it's the best I could do. Okay.
Ask
Shuli, please. And please get back to me. So now, when Chizkiyahu davens, he prays to Hashem, and he says, remember that which I followed your path truthfully with my whole heart. I did that which was good. And Chizkiyahu cries. He cries tremendous tears. By the way, okay, he cries tremendous tears. So then Yeshayahu says, Yeshayahu doesn't leave. Yeshayahu lo yatsa ha'ir or chatzer ha'tichonah, does not leave the outer courtyard or the outer city. And God speaks to Yeshayahu once again. Right? There is a tradition that nevuah that is bad can be taken away. Right? If so, the navi has a nevuah. It's bad, you're going to die, so it can take away. But once the nevuah would get out to the entire world, so it's harder to retract it, as it were. The story over here is that even before Yeshayahu leaves the city, leaves the room, so God speaks to him and says, God says, Pasuk Hey, Shuv Amar Tel Chizkiyahu Negid Ami, Tel Chizkiyahu, the ruler of my nation. This is what Hashem says, I heard your prayer, I saw your tears. I will heal you. On day 3, you will go up to the house of the Lord, and I'll add on 15 years to your life. I will save you from the king of Ashur. I will save the city. I'll protect the city, etc. Fine. Beautiful. The pasuk continues that Yeshayahu says that the healing will come with kichu devela te'inim v'yichu v'yasimu al hashchin v'yachi. Take some figs, and they put them on the shchin, and then he lived. Apparently he had these boils, and the fig healed the boils. The Radak comments, usually figs don't heal boils. Figs have like a type of sap that comes out that can make boils even worse. Not that I've ever experienced this. I've never tried to play around with figs when they have boils, nor Baruch Hashem if I had boils. But the fact is, usually it makes it worse. So says the Radak and Rashi, this is Nes B'toch Nes. So then Chizkiyah asks, what's the os? Ma os kir ba Hashem lei, ba'alis be'yom ha'shlishi beis Hashem? What is the sign that God will heal me? Now, this is a funny question. God just said, hear me. How come Chizkiyah, the righteous Chizkiyah, is asking for a sign? So apparently, this has to do with the fact that Yeshayahu's original Nevoatem was Mos Atah Velo Techiah. No? Right? There is a double expression in the original Nevoat. You will die and you're not going to live. So, comes along Chizkiyah and he says, okay, so I prayed. So now I'm not going to die. But am I going to be strong enough to go to the Beis HaMikdash to pray, etc.? Remember, sometimes a person is really ill and they get a bit of a reprieve. They feel better. Remission. But
slight remission.
It's not a refuah shalema.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's not all the way better. And sometimes people feel that, you know, this new way of life, it's not what I was really asking for. No? It's people want a quality of life. People don't want... So in some ways, that's what Chizkiyahu is saying. He's saying, okay, so I'm not going to die because I davened properly. But who says that's not what I wanted?
What is Olam HaZeh,
what is Olam Haba? No, excellent point. But the Radak over here is commenting that Chizkiyahu's question is based on his understanding that the double lashon is both going on Olam HaZeh. Right, correct. There are many, very good insight actually. So Yeshayahu said, this is the sign from God that Halachatzil Eser Ma'alot Im Yashuv Eser Ma'alot. Should the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? Now, the simple way of understanding this is as follows, that they used to tell time based on sundials, and just like we have degrees, they had degrees, and the question that Yeshayahu is like giving him a choice, you want to go forward or back? Right? In other words, I'm going to make a sign for you. I'm going to make a celestial sign for the entire world that the sun will shift. But you have a choice, forward or backward. You want daylight savings time? Or you want, right? By the way, daylight savings time makes me very tired. Okay, but that's different. But that's the question that they're asking. So, Chizkiyahu says, Nakel ratzel lintot eser ma'alot, lo ki yashuv hatzel achoranit eser ma'alot. Right? So, Chizkiyahu basically says it's kind of easy for the shadow, for the shade, to go 10 degrees forward. Right? Let it go 10 degrees backwards. That's harder. So Yeshayahu calls to Hashem, and the shade goes back 10 degrees. End of conversation. Now, the pasuk continues that the pasuk Yud Aleph says, "Vayoshev et hatzel b'malot asher yalda b'malot achaz achoranit eser malot." That the shade went 10 degrees back on the steps of Achaz. Rashi and the Radak learn that Achaz, who was the father of Chizkiyahu, was wicked, and Hashem made the day speed up at the funeral of Achaz, so that people wouldn't give him funerals, wouldn't give him eulogies. He's lying in state, and obviously people want to eulogize him. Chizkiyahu does not want his back to be eulogized. Right? We said the Gemara in Pesachim about Girer Atmos Ovev Almito Shel Chavon, and his father's on a It's like a bier of ropes rather than the standard stately coffin. So what happens is that the sun went forward, right? The day sped up in order so that people would not have time to give eulogies for Achaz. Now the sun goes back. That's the way Rashi and the Radak learn. The Ralbag is a little more of a rationalist. The Ralbag says, come on. Why for a sign, for a single person, as great as a king is, and as much as he's a king, but why would the sign be the celestial thing? The Ralbag is a general principle of conservation of miraculous matters. Right? Why do a gigantic miracle if you could do a small miracle? Right? We have this concept in literature also, like Isaac Bashevis Singer in his book about the Schnorrer. What's his book? One second. There's a book about a Schnorrer who like ends up killing off everyone in his stories, and he gives a mussar. Killing people is like the worst thing that you could do in the story. Use like smaller lies in order to get what you need. Right? We try to conserve, right? We try to conserve the miracles. So the Ralbag's question is, what's going on here? What's going on over here, he says. How come the sun has to move? So the Ralbag thinks that the sun isn't changing. We're not changing the daylight. Rather, the Ralbag notes that everyone knows that sometimes there's certain shadows that prevent the sun from really shining on the world. And sometimes, right, we call those things eclipses. So the Ralbag understands that really there's an eclipse that's going on. Okay, whatever it is, not that exciting. So the first episode of Chizkiyahu is successful in davening to Hashem, and everything is wonderful. The next episode, just to go quickly because time is late, is that King Berodach Baladon, it's Baladon ben Baladon. The Gemara in Yevamah says that we see from here that non-Jews have the concept of paternity. There's a suffix in the Gemara in terms of whether non-Jews are Mekayim Pru Revu, etc. The Gemara says, Baladon, Ben Baladon proves that there is a concept of paternity, etc. So he sends a gift to Chizkiyahu because he heard that Chizkiyahu is sick. And Chizkiyahu hears about this and he shows him in the treasure house and all the good stuff. And Chizkiyahu basically showed him everything. And then Yeshayahu comes and Yeshayahu says, how come these people came to you? Chizkiyahu says, oh, they came from a far country. And then he says, what did they see? Chizkiyahu says, oh, I showed them everything. I showed them every single thing I had. So Yeshayahu says, listen to God. All this stuff is going to be taken away from you. Your people are going into Babel, etc. So now what's so bad about what Chizkiyahu did amend? What's so bad about showing the treasures to Berodach Baladon ben Baladon? That's the question. So the psukim in Divrei Hayamim, if you look on page 4, I give you a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, the same thing. The pasuk says, Ki gavali bo vayhi alav ketzef ayyudav Yerushalayim. Divrei Hayamim says that the sin of Chizkiyahu was haughtiness. Effectively, what happened was, when Berodach Baladon comes, and he heard that Chizkiyahu is sick, especially after what we know from Rashi and from Radak, that this is at the same time that Ashur lost in the war, right? So Chizkiyahu should really say, oh, everything is about God. But instead he shows him his treasure house, and he shows him his weapons. And he says, oh, these are my AK-47s, and these are my M1A1 Abrams tanks, and these are the weapons that I have, and amazing, amazing me. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So says Yeshayahu HaNavi, no, you got to realize this is all about God. This ain't about you. That's the approach that, that's one approach that's found in the Midrashim. Another approach, that's an approach that's found in the Pasuk, and the Midrashim play on that approach extensively. Other approaches are more connected to Pshuto Shemikra, which is that Yeshayahu HaNavi is telling Chizkiyahu, you know what, alliances are bad. Never make alliances. Because, first of all, you never know. You're going to ally yourself with this nation, who says that will help out? Maybe you should ally yourself with that nation. Yeshayahu, and you read through Sefer Yeshayahu time and time again, he tells the Jewish people, you know what, don't make alliances.
But wasn't he part of, there were two parties then, the pro-Egypt party and the pro-Assyrian party.
That, so that was beforehand, absolutely. But now, after Ashur was defeated, so then he wants to make an alliance with Babel, so that's already more problematic. You get an impression that, again, assuming that the timeline over here is that this is right after the defeat of Ashur, so that this is when the Yeshayahu says, don't make an alliance. Moreover, the third approach that Alex Sisra has in his article is that Chizkiyahu is supposed to be someone who trusts in God. We read last week in Perek Yud Tes that Rav Shakeh keeps on attacking Chizkiyahu. You trust in God. You say you trust in God. How come all these things are happening to you? Chizkiyahu prided himself in trusting God. For an average king, making an alliance might not be a bad thing. But for someone like Chizkiyahu, that bitachon is his mantra. That's what he stands for. So for Chizkiyahu, this was a sin. Because Chizkiyahu is supposed to... Everyone has certain things that... Right, the Gemara's in Megillah, etc. speak about. They ask all these Amoram, what did you do that merited a long life? And people sometimes have like one particular mitzvah. I never went 4 amos without wearing tefillin. I never didn't say Shalom Aleichem to people in the morning. Whatever it is, people have certain things that define who they are, and they go to the nth degree in that thing. And if that's who you are, so you have to really uphold that. If you are a person, Chizkiyahu, of bitachon, that's how you identify yourself, so that's why I don't want this alliance. Because you, Chizkiyahu, you have to be something more. Again, this is Alex Israel's third approach. I think it's interesting. There's what to say. But the fact is, we see over here, within Chizkiyahu, a certain tension regarding the bitachon itself. You see, the first story involves Chizkiyahu having tremendous faith in God, and he prays even after the Navi tells him he's going to die. No? And the second time, he doesn't have faith. People are complicated. Even the Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who is an awesome king, right? But at the same time as he represents the height of Bitachon, there is something that could have been done better. The parak continues, basically, that Chizkiyahu dies and Menashe takes over as his son. Menashe, we'll learn in the Pesukim next time, was 12 years old when he takes over. Since Chizkiyahu was granted another 15 years, that means Menashe is born in these 3 years. Menashe is born into the extra innings, as it were, of Chizkiyahu, and that is what leads the Gemara in Brachos to say that the sin of Chizkiyahu was not having children. That was the sin that led to his illness. Okay, so these are some of the thoughts that we wanted to mention about Parakot. Thank you for listening, Chevra. Have a good night. Oh, that could be. That's a very European idea. That could be. Okay. Okay, well, thank you.